Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Well, everybody, we've got just two ADP chasings of the season left. Yes, best ball summer is in its final days. We still, however, got plenty of news to discuss with Josh Jacobs' return to Las Vegas Raiders and several key wide receiver injuries, including Terry McLaurin and JSN. We'll break down our approach to the final days of draft season and maybe even hop in our first Best Ball Mania 4 draft as an ADP chasing team. Let's do it.
Pat Fryer helm off.
This is why. This is why I'm hot.
Anita Hanjob.
Fix your sight.
Jamar Alpha Play Chase.
Are you kidding me? Kadarius Toney?
You can't handle the heat.
It looks like we're finally at this point. You're right.
So, guys, we had this plan all summer. We're going to close out ADP chasing with a high-stakes draft. turns out that's not going to happen.
You sickos filled all the tournaments.
Goddamn sickos filled
they
all
filled
the tournaments.
They filled them fast.
Filled them real fast.
That's a bummer. And apparently no more tournaments on the horizon is the inside intel from Underdog that we're aware of.
I'm not sure if we're going to get another high-stakes tournament. If we try to wait out for another high stakes tournament, which we don't have today, then Best Ball Mania will probably fill
before next Monday.
So, yeah. So we should just go ahead and draft the BBM is what we're thinking.
I'm with it. Should we do risers and fallers first or the BBM first? What do you guys think?
I think maybe we hit on Jacob, some of the wide receiver injury stuff. First, and then hop in a draft, and then we can talk through some other stuff as we draft. Anyways, I'll pull up the list here. No small talk today. Let's dive right into the Josh Jacobs story. He returned to camp. I think this was largely expected. It was sort of reported even a week before. I haven't looked at the details, but he got up to $2 million extra. I'm not sure if it was guaranteed. Kind of irrelevant for his fantasy outlook, what he actually got, but got a couple extra $1 million slapped onto his contract. Question for you guys, starting with you, Pat. Where are you taking Jacobs now? What's your approach to him? You know, he's risen a little bit, but this is basically what his price was before the holdout. So not a huge increase. Are you chasing up any farther?
Yeah, I was able to get overweight on Jacobs with this third round ADP. And I think that was kind of the way to play it. Like, we were thinking basically this is like Saquon Barkley kind of provided the path, and then Jacobs ended up following that path. That was sort of the most likely situation to play out. But as he comes up now, it depends how far up he's going to go. If he's going to be like Derrick Henry range, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm fine to take him over Henry. But if he moves into that mid-second, then especially in Best Ball Mania, I think that's just pretty bad. You're getting a guy who I'm not sure has the legendary upside kind of ceiling. We're looking at a guy who was well short of that with a career year last year. He absolutely dominated his share of team attempts. He should have a really nice lead in that this year, but you know, they got a chance to look at Zamir White, who's very athletic, bigger back. He could mix in a little bit more. And that would hurt a guy like Jacobs, who had an 80% team attempt share. So I've seen stuff like, oh, he's, you know, should be in the middle of the second round or something. I will be fading at that price, partially because a lot of people have mid third, and partially just because I don't think he's really worthy of that type of pick.
Davis,
I've been ETN pilled. So like Sean started making Jamal Charles comparisons, and I was like, well, don't really want to be missing on that guy. And it just feels like I'd rather buy on the Jaguars than the Raiders. And I already have so much, like I have, my portfolio is so concentrated in Davante Adams that if in the 3 week sprint, it's Josh Jacobs posting, you know, multiple 25 plus point games, that probably means Davante Adams isn't. So I'm pretty comfortable being below market. I wonder how much Jacobs I even have. Like I bet I probably don't even have that much, even though I never expected him not to play. Yeah,
I was at 8%, but I have a lot of high stakes stuff. So I kind of felt like it just ended up being kind of the timing of when I was drafting. That's how it played
out.
Not that I
wouldn't take Josh Jacobs in the third round, particularly like I'm doing like some co-management events. I've got one tomorrow night with Silva. Got to think Silva will want to be pressing the button on Josh Jacobs. You know, like he seems fine, but I prefer the two guys who go directly behind him in Etienne and Ramondre by like quite a bit. So not that I think he's bad, but it's just hard for me to click him there, basically. Like it just feels like a perfectly fine ADP for the people who want to take him. I don't think it's bad, but I'm not going to be doing it.
Does it stop here? Because I don't think it does. I think it moves up. I mean, it did feel to me like there was this sort of, I'm calling this a steam valve, where there was steam that was captured and bottled during this period, because
I like that analogy, Pat.
Right? Like lots of kind of more traditional fantasy football analysts, I think, would have been talking about Jacobs as a 1-2 turn type of pick. Like he's kind of come, you know, he's coming off this amazing year. He's sort of safe, all that type of traditional stuff. But those type of analysts are generally not the ones to recommend anyone with uncertainty. You know, if there's contract uncertainty, it's like, well, just wait it out, see what happens. So you're going to get some of that now. You're going to get this guy, now that this is figured out, he's, you know, I'll take him over Tony Pollard or whatever. Like, I certainly wouldn't do that. But I think there's
going to be... That would be a disaster. Taking him over Pollard would be such a disaster.
Well, I agree, but I think someone is going to step up to that plate. I don't know who, but yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is anything, any fantasy football take you can imagine, someone out there, like that's their thing. I saw a tweet the other day from someone, I don't even remember who it was, but they said, good morning, don't forget to draft Van Jefferson today. And I was just like, there's a fantasy take for everything. Like if there's a guy out there who's flag planning wide receiver 64 Van Jefferson, then there's someone out there who's flag planted everything, you know?
Yeah, the thing with Jacobs, like I think I'm with you guys that, yeah, if you want to put him over Derrick Henry, and that's a pretty big jump from where he is now. Henry goes at pick 20, Jacobs at pick 27. I actually don't really have a problem with that. I can definitely see the argument for Jacobs being a better pick than Henry. If you now want to take him ahead of the elite quarterbacks, or at least mix him in that range, maybe even if you want to say, hey, I'm taking him over like T. Higgins, Devonta Smith now, even that I think is fine.
That's
where
it starts to get a little weird to me.
Yeah, well, that's where I think the line is, right?
The reason why you would do that is that the stacking options, you used to be able to get Hurts, Devonta on that 2-3 turn a lot, and now you can't. So I you know, if you're just sitting there looking at like, okay, so I started Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase, and then I took pick your flavor wide receiver, but you want an anchor running back, I don't have any issue with Jacobs at 3-2 or 3-1 in that.
Oh no, I don't either. But we're talking about late second. Does he go? How is he in the late second?
That feels bad to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably take Devonta Smith there because I do like the chance at the Jalen Hurts stack, but I actually don't have a problem. If you want to take Jacobs at 2-11, you want to take him over like that Olave, Devonta, T. Higgins tier wide receivers, I'm personally like fine with that. I don't think I would be doing that every time. I mean, the thing with Jacobs, I was trying to channel my inner Crane. Crane had a great article on the legendary upside scenarios. You guys should definitely check it out. Pat, I'm curious, like, how you think, like, couldn't Jacobs' path just be, like, is it that crazy to say, you know, Jacobs had 2,000 yards from scrimmage last year, led the league, you know, in touches, 50 straight catches in 2+ years. What if he just does that again and gets 20 touchdowns? Like, he only had 12 touchdowns last year. I think that's kind of underperforming his yardage. Like, is it that insane just to say he does what he did last year and falls in the end zone, like in a more lucky way than he did last year? Like, to me, that's not that crazy. Like, I'm curious what you think though of his like true like legendary upside scenarios.
Yeah, I think it's not a great path because he doesn't have the receiving element really locked down. Over his career, he has 2.7 receptions per game, which is well below what we're looking for. He hasn't been a super efficient receiver, although he's not bad. He was used more last year, 12% target share last year, which is pretty solid. But again, not awesome. You know, like if he was at 15% last year, I'd be like, well, they used him differently. Like, this is a different regime. This is a different Josh Jacobs. Like, we can count on him to be the receiver now. But I think he's more likely to be like used a fair amount as a receiver, but not to an elite level. And then you need elite something else. And this is not going to be a very good team. You know, this is a team that's could be kind of a disaster. Like, if you look, circle teams that could just like where goes to hell, like the Raiders are pretty high on the list. So,
I mean, it did go to hell for the Raiders last year, right? To be clear. I mean, they benched Derek Carr for Jarrett Stidham. Like, they were a bad team. They were a really bad team last year. I don't find that argument nearly as compelling, but that might just be Devontae Adams bag protecting, to be clear. Like, I am not an unbiased source here on that at all. But what I worry about is these are the snap shares of his games where he scored more than 20 points. 89%, 83%, 81% twice, 280%, 279%, 275%. You start to get into 75% being his baseline, or 65% being his baseline, because Zamir White's working in a little bit here, Brandon Bolden's stealing a couple here, you know, and then you're talking about a guy whose projection each week moves down a tier, and it's a like he got all the green zone touches for the Las Vegas Raiders last year. He feels to me much more fragile in the sense of we saw what peak Josh Jacobs usage was like, whereas the guys who go behind him, Etienne, Ramondre, the market is making an assumption that those guys are losing quite a bit of their high value touches, which I mean, I think there's going to be two games where Ezekiel Elliott gets a chance to play goal line stuff and is going to be really bad at it. And Belichick's going to be like, actually, maybe let's not do that, which is not to say Kevin Harris or Ty Montgomery or someone can't take that. But for ETN specifically, and this is not my original point, Gretch and Sean have been all over this all offseason. He misses the rookie year with injury. There's been this presumption by like film watchers that he can't catch passes like he did in college. But like guys learn and add skills in the NFL, and ETN is like not an all-time prospect. He's not Bijan or Saquon, but he's like one tier below that. I don't really see any reason he can't see his goal line and long down and distance snaps increase. Like Tank Bigsby is like the most mediocre create a player running back prospect ever. Like he is not a special. He might as well be Dearness Johnson or Jermichael Hasty, you know, in the
context. Tyler Algier-ish. Like,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
He's not Dearness Johnson or Michael Hasty. He's like one of these backup running backs with a little pop. That's how he profiles. Or like if he were to take over, be like a high end RB2 if ETN went down. Like that kind of you'd be psyched to have him. But I generally agree. I mean, ETN was a much better prospect than Bigsby.
So just going back to Jake, like I don't really have any pushback on fading.
Well,
on the bull case for Etienne.
But no, I just want to on Jacobs circle back to something, but you can go ahead if you got some.
Yeah, just one thing on Jacobs. Like, so the Zamir White stuff, like I had this argument with some folks the other week where I'm like, oh, doesn't like Zamir White kind of get a chance now? Like even if Jacobs does come back to like carve out a role, maybe he can work in sort of on the short yardage, give Jacobs more of a break. And I do like kind of believe that, but.
Well, that's a real football guy take, right? Of being like Zamir was here all off season working his ass off and Josh Jacobs was, you know, doing whatever. Like, why wouldn't we give Zamir White some more work to reward his effort in the offseason?
Yeah. I sort of see that argument, but I mean, so they knew he was back this weekend, right? And Amir Abdullah and Brandon Bolden rested, and Zamir White played with the Aiden O'Connell, Keelan Cole, Philip Dorsett group. Again, that doesn't mean he's like buried. I get he's a younger player. I get why he'd play, but like to me, that's not a signal like, oh, we want Zamir on ice because he has a role week one. It's kind of just like Zamir still needs to prove that he can even be the backup here. Like, I'm kind of, you know, I don't think Zamir White comes out of the gate with any kind of real role. Jacob's got $2 million guarantee added onto his deal. McDaniels used him like a workhorse last year. Like, that's still my base assumption, is that he is going to be the workhorse again. I get, like, the upside with offense and stuff isn't there, but I don't know. Like, when I'm thinking, like, Jacobs versus, like, T. Higgins, it's just, like, I think the ceiling and the base projection are, like, kind of better for Jacobs, to be honest. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there, like, on a weekly basis or something. You can make that argument, but I just think touches are going to be so good.
As he moves, you know, and this is kind of coming from, we brought the legendary running back framing, and that framing, you know, I write that article about running backs in the first two rounds, because that's where guys who have like okay seasons that don't kill you actually do kind of kill you, because, you know, you get passed by receiver points, and then those teams, especially this year, have a chance to get really cheap running back production. So you kind of lose twice. And Jacobs in the third round, like, it didn't really apply to him, you know, like, you can get, if he scores a little bit less than last year, like, okay, he scored 19 and a half points per game in PPR last year. Like, you would be fine, you know, in half PPR or PPR with the kind of, you know, with 90% Josh Jacobs from last year in the third. But the issue is, if he moves into the middle of the second, which I kind of think he will, then you're actually looking for more of like a legendary ceiling. And that's where, you know, when I talk about like the quality of the offense, and, you know, Davis is saying, well, it shouldn't be any worse than last year. Yeah, probably not, but it wasn't good enough last year. He scored 19 and a half PPR points per game last year. He had 3.1 receptions per game. If he's going to add like 3.5 PPR points per game, where could that possibly come from? He's maxed out on the touches. He had 80% of the team attempts last year. That was RB1. That was 5% more than Derrick Henry. I think anything from Zamir White hurts a lot, you know? So, and is that, if it's half
especially
a season,
because I kind of think Zamir White is decent. Like, I don't think I think he's the Tank Bigsby equivalent, right? So, like, a backup running back with a little bit of pop. So, right. I agree with that. I think Zamir White had 14 carries and 0 targets last year. Give him 75 carries and 13 targets, and that is coming directly out of Josh Jacobs' pie in an offense that doesn't have that big of a pie to begin with.
Right.
Like, it's like a Walmart store-bought, you know, pumpkin pie, as opposed to, like, your grandma's, you know, delicious homemade pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I just, as he moves up, I think you start to want to look at the ceiling more, and it really does feel like last year was the ceiling. Can he get there again? Like, yeah, I think so. I think he could have another 19 points a game, like, you know, like he did last year. But I don't think he's a great bet for the truly, like, game-changing, you know, earth-shattering type of ceiling. Just doesn't really, like, there's no clear path to that. And then when you look at the opportunity cost or the kind of the better bets later, like ETN in the fourth or Josh Jacobs in the second? ETN in the fourth all day, right? That one's easy. Ramondre in the late third, I would rather take him. Obviously, I'm Breece in the late fourth or whatever.
Damian Pierce in the sixth round. I'm starting to get very, like, click happy. Like, it's 5-10, and I'm like, why don't I just take Damian Pierce? Why don't I just live a little?
I'm going to be drafting some Damian Pierce later today, yeah. Too. Yeah.
This is a macro thing.
J.K. Dobbins in the sixth? I mean, there's a lot of other ways to go.
This is a more macro thing, but about 10 days ago, I was starting to get very burnt out on drafting. I'm wondering your guys' thoughts on this, but, like, right now, I'm on the clock in all these drafts, but I'm, like, excited to pick. Like, I'm getting much more, the closer we get, the more, like, excited I am to draft. I'm wondering your guys' burnout levels.
The slows have been getting me down, but the other day, I think it was Marvin Mims or someone fun, and I was just like, isn't this supposed to be fun? I'm just taking, because I'm in more of these high stakes slows where I'm trying to, like, really, like, think about my picks. And I was just like, I'm just taking Mims. Let's have fun again. You know,
I think I'm in like half of those bulldog slows with you, Pat. We're battling each other in a ton of those.
Yeah.
Those have been getting me a little bit, because people completely, like, wipe out the, like, The boring players that I hate to draft are always staring at me like 30 picks past ADP. It's like I've taken two shares of Zeke at like 180 in those. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck, like I have
a good pick.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck it. Like zero, I have zero Zeke. Like this seems great, but like I still hate doing it at the same time. But yeah, man, those are brutal. Anyways, let's get on schedule here before we do a draft. I do think there are some kind of huge wide receiver injuries that have happened the past week we have not touched on yet. Let's do the sort of Dotson and McLaurin conversation in tandem here. Dotson is up seven spots, and let's see, McLaurin is down seven. So people are kind of treating that equally. Though, just to sort of set the table on McLaurin's injury, he suffered a turf toe in the last preseason game, and the general consensus is that it's not that serious of an injury, that he is, there's optimism for week one. So yeah, curious, like your thoughts on McLaurin rising, or sorry, falling, and Dotson rising. Davis, how have you been playing that situation?
I've been not taking McLaurin. I've been taking Tyler Lockett and George Pickens ahead of him. And I have been taking Dotson. I've been chasing, I'm in these 100, I'm literally making my picks right now. I'm in these 120 fucking puppy slows. And I, I'm chasing this theme. I mean, the other thing is reflected by our next riser, Sam Howell, but I am also realizing that Sam Howell is, I mean, probably he's a bad pick now at where he's going, particularly in Best Ball Mania, because so many people got him in round 18 and got specifically better prices on, you know, like you could get round 5 Ayuk, round 8 Jahan Dotson, round 18 Sam Howell, but more in the snapshot contest, I'm more into it. However, I've been listening to all these Sean podcasts, and he is so bullish on Sam Howell. It's been like infecting me that I'm like, look, if I got to take a round 15 Sam Howell and a round 18 Cole Turner to get this team through, like it is what it is. I just gotta click these buttons. Dotson feels like everything we love, though. Like it feels like young guy. Early declare, scored a bunch of touchdowns as a rookie. We know that touchdowns as a rookie tend to be pretty predictive. He's got this big opening with McLaurin, probably not ready. Also, turf toe, by the way, I did some Googling on this, and because I was like, I kind of had some memories of like, you know, guys I've liked in fantasy have had this injury before. Davante Adams had it. He missed 8 games. Julio Jones has had it. Basically was the beginning of the downfall of Julio Jones. Like wide receivers, when they get this turf toe injury, it tends
to be Charles Woodson a couple of years of his career, really. I mean, he was playing through it, but he was kind of that, like when he was at the Raiders and then he went to the Packers and kind of revived himself, but he'd been dealing with turf toe for like years with the Raiders. Darren McFadden.
I was going to say Darren McFadden. That was the one I remember.
Oh my God. You know how many times I drafted Darren McFadden in like the third round of drafts only to like get like literally zero games out of him? There was a year he was on the Cowboys and he was like a 7th round pick. And I was just like, this is the greatest gift I've ever gotten. And then he obviously immediately got injured. But point being,
the thing is, we should say there, I think there are grades to turf toe.
Yeah,
though.
This is a,
so, yeah, I would like check with the medical experts. I don't think like all turf toe is like the same. So this could end up being mild. I don't really know.
It could totally end up being nothing. Really, the only the persuasive argument to me about continuing to take McLaurin as he falls is that 4-5 turn area has become so hard to click anyone. It's like,
it's kind of bad to get the 101 right now because the 2-3 turn and 4-5 turn suck. It's like, well,
yes. You get the Jefferson super boost, but then you have to reach on guys at the 2-3 turn and at the 4-5 turn. Now at the 6-7 turn, though, you end up getting some.
That's
gifts.
A good turn.
The 6-7 turn is good, and the 8. Have you gotten an 8-9 turn Kyle Pitts yet? Because let me tell you, I've gotten those in a couple of these puppies. People are done with Kyle Pitts. People are acting like Kyle Pitts has already disappointed them. They are.
They're acting like it's 2024. And he's already had a bad 2023.
They saw Parker Hesse in preseason week 2 and they were like, I can't do this shit again.
Michael Pruitt ran more routes than him and they're like, it's over.
We do, Sam, we see these Howell and Pickett arising together. And I feel like that's basically just, these guys looked pretty good.
Okay, the Pickett thing was, okay, the Steelers were playing against I forget who they played last week, but it was like the third string players on the Seahawks. I'm forgetting what team they played now. Whatever team they played, they're playing like the third stringers, and the Steelers just lit them up.
Yeah.
But it's like, guys.
It was fun. It looked good.
It was fun to watch. Like, Najee even kind of looked good. Jalen Warren looked like he was shut
There's
out of
There's a red
cannon.
Flag, okay? You're touting Pickett over this. Najee looked good, so be careful.
Yeah. Be careful on this preseason game that I think was in prime time. Whatever, like, the first preseason game is of the week that people actually, like, watch before they realize they hate preseason football, they see a couple highlights and they're like, ooh, Kenny Pickett looked really good against the fourth string cornerbacks on the Seahawks. We got to draft him. So, I don't know, man. I'm not saying Pickett was a bad pick. So, like, this one's, like...
Pickett's fine.
I'm buying both of these rises. I just want it on the record. I'm the slappy buying both of these rises.
Let's talk Howell, because this is a mistake. The way to play Howell is go get him in some main events.
Yes.
You get him in your main event portfolio. You get him in high stakes managed leagues. That's how to play Howell, because you're actually going to be able to, like, start him early. And then if he ends up getting benched, like, so what? You can move on. Like, it's so easy to find quarterback points later in the main event. It doesn't hurt you at all. He's so cheap. There's no opportunity cost, really. And you know, if he's awesome, you got him on some high stakes teams, so you're gonna be happy. But mixing him into my best ball portfolio as he's rising, as his number one receiver's dealing with turf toe, that seems bad.
It makes it easier to get him, right? Because if you catch like a sixth round McLaurin, you know, and you're like, oh, I didn't take any of the top eight quarterbacks. I don't have a Cowboy to take Dak. I don't have a Seahawk to take Geno. It's actually pretty easy to do.
The guy that I feel, if we're taking a quarterback a little bit, you know, if we're going to be happier to take a quarterback that doesn't have full job security, I actually feel a little bit better about Ridder with Trey Lance going to Dallas. I think that's like sneak. That was like one of the, it was, I think, pretty low odds, but that was one of the ways this gets screwed up, and now that's resolved. So
when Carson Wentz is putting on the dirty bird in week 7.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh boy.
So I don't have anything interesting to say about Waller. I feel like we've already talked about him a ton. I did just want to mention this on Juwan Johnson as a big riser. Jimmy Graham's playing more than anyone wants him to. I officially want this on the record. Jimmy Graham scored a vintage Jimmy Graham touchdown in the preseason last night, and Dennis Allen was like jazzed up about it. We're doing a press conference, Pat, here. He was like, oh, that was really good to see. It was really good. It was really cool to see him out there running routes. Like, it looks like he still got it, you know?
Uh-oh.
Okay, the Juwan Johnson thing, I was going to truth him a little bit today, too. Like, I get it. He's a fun player, but, like, okay, last year he was 21st in routes run at tight end. But that's fine. Whatever. You can still, you know, justify taking the tight end 18 at, you know, who's running.
He's a bit of a deep threat.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he was a wide receiver at Oregon.
Yeah, he's converted wide receiver. I get it. But, like, if we're going to nitpick all these guys, like, routes, like, we nitpick the shit out of Kincaid's routes. We nitpick, you know, Dulcich's routes. Man, they added.
Nitpicking with Kincaid. It's like a 10th round pick.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. I mean, Foster Moreau and Jimmy Graham are going to play a lot of these, like, blocking play action snaps, I think. I mean, they basically replaced Adam Trautman with Foster Moreau and Jimmy Graham. You can say that doesn't matter at all. I think you're just chasing, like, touchdowns with Juwan Johnson, which is fine, but, like,
they had a lot of them last year, which is, like, kind of why you care about him. Like, if you're like, why is Juwan Johnson a guy I know again? It's because he scored a bunch of touchdowns last year. That's why he's on the radar. He did have, like, a really, like, Derek Carr was talking him up as, you know, this.
Yeah, he's,
like,
got a lot of hype and connection.
Yeah,
so that's good, but then the route stuff is bad. So if he's rising, it's probably not the right time to take him.
Yeah. I just still like Musgrave over him. He's also rising a crazy amount, but, like, the role feels better with Musgrave. Maybe I'm, like, overthinking
Musgrave
that,
is going to, like, run the third most routes at tight end of any tight end in the NFL. Like, he's gonna have run, like, a dummy number of routes when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
I guess I could see that. I don't think that's the most likely thing to happen, but just
because this is a true, what are you going to do to take this away from me, from the coaching staff? Because the other tight end options are guys they hate in Josiah DeGuerra, who has never been a functional part.
Those run blocks is what it is.
The blocking tight end got hurt. Tyler Davis got hurt. And then the other rookie, Tucker Kraft, has been way behind Musgrave in developmental. And then you might be like, oh, well, they'll just go really heavy with the wide receiver personnel. Will they, though? They because they don't have anyone older than 23 in their wide receiver room. It might just fail because Luke Musgrave is not good and never topped like 317 yards at Oregon State. Like, that's totally a possibility that I'm open to, but it's not gonna fail because they just decide they hate him midseason. I don't think.
Yeah. I think it could with the run blocking stuff. Like, if he, and I don't know, maybe this isn't that big of a concern because I don't know much about DeGuara's run blocking ability, but if like they're a team, I think that's gonna want to be able to run the ball a lot. And if Musgrave is not doing that for them, like if he loses 11 personnel snaps at all because they can't run the ball out of 11, that would really, really hurt. But I don't know. I mean, that's at this point, I'm only mentioning stuff like that because he is such a riser. As you know, he was an awesome late round pick, clearly.
Yeah. Let's hit on Judy and GSN quickly. Judy is a pretty dramatic faller. His injury timeline is a little scary. Some Twitter doctors are saying, you know, he could be fine week two, week three. Some are estimating more like week six. I think the official like reporting and team optimism has been on the more optimistic side of that timeline, which it usually is. I'm a little spooked with Judy. I think he is right to fall this much. He wasn't a guy I was high on earlier.
I think you just hit on it. It's that people weren't that excited to take him where he was going anyway.
I didn't think he made any sense. Remember when he was at the 3-4 turn? I was like, what is happening? Yeah. It just didn't make sense to me. But like people I really respect were on him there. And so I was just like, okay, like, I guess we're doing this. But then, you know, I'd mix him in some. But like, when a guy like that then suffers an injury, it's like hard for me to go back.
Harmon really shit on him from like a film perspective, was like, this is the most aggressively mediocre route runner I've ever seen, who people say is like the best.
Yeah. Right. The Harmon Harmon stuff versus open score stuff, there isn't like a player where it's more different than Jerry Judy. So to give Judy like a little bit of credit, like obviously love Harmon, love his stuff, but like there is some film charting esque stuff that likes him, I guess. But yeah, I was skeptical.
The player tracking, he was wide receiver 10, I think.
He's quite good on the player. Yeah, quite good in that, but. Couple questions. I think our listeners will probably have this while they're on the clock the next couple of days. Would you guys take Jerry Judy or Tyler Lockett?
Lockett every time.
Lockett.
What about Mike Evans or Jerry Judy?
John Dotson. I'm scrolling down three more and I'm clicking Dotson there.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm taking Judy to answer the question. I'd take Judy.
I'd probably take Judy there. Yeah,
but that's about the line for me, I think. Like pick 65-ish for Judy is about like, and maybe that's playing too scared, but I think I like Pickens over him. I like Lockett. I like Kirk. I probably like him better than Mike Evans, Gabe Davis tier.
So the something that's interesting though is that as it pertains to Best Ball Mania specifically and not these time box contests, is that if Judy is back, even if he's back in week three or something like that, like you've got like a really unique combo with Judy at this stage, right? Because there were 70% of the contest was drafted with him in the third round, more or less, you know, third or fourth round. So you getting him at 55 or at 60, you have a very, not only like, it's just very unique. That grouping of players is going to be harder to advance because they're just not going to exist that many combinations of it.
Yeah.
I have him one spot ahead of Evans in my rankings, behind Dotson, but ahead or also behind Gabe Davis would be another guy.
Yeah. I think that's fair for him. It's just like, I do get the game theory side of things, but sometimes I think we overthink these injuries and not reacting enough. The market's clearly reacting to these. Like McLaurin, Judy, JSN are all down. So I'm definitely giving the market some credit here. But
well, JSN players... is tilted. I've never seen a guy more tilted than Sam was about JSN's lack of a fall about 3 minutes after his injury was reported.
Yeah, his ADP hadn't moved.
Not respecting this. I'm like, in second, dude. And that's
it. Didn't get it. Was a full,
I gotta be,
you know,
I gotta, 27 I gotta
seconds
keep
after
it.
The injury, and he still hadn't moved an ADP. I didn't understand.
I gotta keep it 100 with everyone. I am drafting the shit out of injured JSN, mostly because I'm drafting. Man. Mostly because I'm drafting in these puppies where it's like, I just want to have a sick team in the final. Like, if I lose $750 in the puppy three, you know, it is what it is. But, and these are mostly of what I'm drafting right now. I'm almost done on DraftKings and on BBM, though I found it very hard to say no to round eight JSN on DraftKings. The thing is you can now take him as your third wide receiver, the way I draft, probably fourth wide receiver for a piss boy, maybe even a fifth wide receiver at that spot. But you can also do 2-5-9-2 builds or 3-3-5-9-2 in which JSN's points, like, yeah, you're getting zeros for a month. Like, I'm basically counting him out until week six. But his, like, I think JSN is going to be your classic low advance rate, high win rate guy in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, the chat is saying that, like, you know, he's always been a long play. JSN is what he is. Like, I get what the chat is saying here.
Yeah, but we just spent two months drafting him in the fifth round, though. Like, it's, there's no way to paint it as good. It's bad.
Yeah, like,
we all have
bad.
A ton of JSN exposure, don't we? So, like, in some ways, I'm like, all right, I guess I'm not going to hammer him now. I think he's fine.
I was below 8% on him before, okay. And now I will be way above.
Yeah. I am taking some because I was fading him before. I'm the best ball, like, bro stereotype that Pete had in his video where I was fading JSN on underdog and taking him on DraftKings because the price was so different. I was that guy.
I at one point had 50% JSN on DraftKings.
Yeah.
I just took him every time in the sixth round.
But, like, okay, I'm just tilting the chat. Again, I've been tilting JSN all week. You can't just say, like, oh, he was a playoff play. Like, it doesn't matter that he's maybe injured for the first 6 weeks. Like, this is your
sixth
round.
If the price is different.
Well, it matters. It matters to his develop. The thing, I mean, to go real football guy, it matters to his development curve, right?
Exactly.
And it's going to matter. It's going to matter to how the Seahawks want to deploy him as well. Like, those tilting penny heart snaps are going to be happening in week seven, not in week one now. And you're like, he might not start running enough routes to be like a managed league play until like week 10. That it's very bad. Like, I mean, I really don't want to invoke this name because I'm like all the way out on him, but they, like, you could see some Jameson Williams type vibes here where it's like, where it's like the rookie year just never really gets going.
Come on.
Like, we did this a little bit with Burks last year and like
way too big a JSN back for you to start comping him to Williams.
Yeah. That's a bridge too far, but I don't think like the Burks stuff is like that different. Like, obviously different situations. Burks was just like out of shape dealing with asthma last year. And there was like wide reporting. He's going to like start slow. He's not starting. Different situations. I get it. And that's kind of what happened with Burks. Like, by the time his season ramped up and he started to be useful, it was very late in the year. He hadn't been useful for a long stretch of the season. And then he, you know, gets unlucky and gets a concussion and it never really materializes. But man, like, I don't think people are realizing the NFL season is 16 weeks. And if a guy has a legitimate chance to miss 6 weeks, like, you can't just say, ah, he was a playoff play. Like,
well, the thing that tilts it is that their bye week is so early that maybe even if he was ready to play in week three, I think they're going to hold him out. I would, if I was a betting man, I'd say it's minus 110. He does not appear in a Seahawks game until after their bye week, probably.
Which is their bye week is what, week five?
Week five.
Yeah.
So he's going to miss 4 weeks of the season almost assuredly.
Yeah, but for your lineup, he's probably going to miss 6 or 7.
Yeah, but everyone misses their bye week.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Well, you're saying he's going to start slow.
It doesn't matter. It does. It truly doesn't matter. It's like the first. It's.
I mean, it could. Now, maybe I'm wrong, right? So. I painted the pessimistic picture. Let me paint the optimistic one. That the beginning of the season, they were going to play, I don't even, D. Eskridge or Freddie Swain or who, I literally don't even know who the Seahawks fourth wide receiver is because it's so immaterial. But they were going to play that guy. They were going to play that guy instead of JSN anyway, right? And that was their plan. Just like they're going to, for the first month of the season, they're stubbornly going to play DJ Dallas on third downs, even though Charbonnet is probably better at him than it anyway. So maybe he gets a lot of film time. You know, it's an upper body injury, not a lower body injury. So there's no concern about conditioning. Yeah, he's going to be able to run. And,
he's going to
be able to do all that stuff. He's going to be able to be on the sideline at the games. Like maybe these would have been low production weeks anyway. Well, he learned and figured it out, and he actually hits the ground running. They don't do the Olabisi Johnson thing for him. And in week six, he comes out first snap, 11 personnel, and he's out there. It's totally possible.
There's nothing guaranteed about that, but I think that's more likely. I mean, everything we heard about him out of camp was like total professional. This guy's ready. He's, you know, it's just about him learning like fine tuning playbook stuff. Like there's no like becoming an NFL wide receiver. This guy is an NFL wide receiver.
And they targeted him a ton in his limited, targets per route run and his limited preseason time was really good. Yeah.
So you need a discount. You need a discount. He's going to miss probably four games of the season, which is a lot. So you can't just sit there and take him in the fifth where you were taking him, but you're getting a discount. So I think I'm actually kind of talking myself back into taking some of getting some different team textures with him than I had before. This feels about right. 73.
It feels about right. I guess I'm still just like Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, and Quentin Johnson all go after him. And particularly with Addison, I think you have to be so confident in your ability to predict prospects to say that Jordan Addison, who went two picks later in the NFL draft, who I think is in a much better situation to get routes on his team, who, you know, when you look at their prospect profiles, I get JSN's ceiling is higher that sophomore year, but there's red flags in JSN's prospect profile. It's not some like Jamar Chase like spot.
I didn't even really like him that much as a prospect compared to, and then I started listening to Sean and I just lost all objectivity, but I did not giga love him as a prospect.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying he's a bad, obviously I'm not saying he's a bad prospect. It's just like Addison and Flowers to me, who are not, don't have broken wrists and are not going to miss like probably 5 weeks to start the year. Like why should we be taking JSN over those guys again? Like, I guess I don't get
it. So unless... I have Addison ahead of JSN now, but I think what the reason would be that you can poke holes in JSN's profile, but I don't think you can really poke holes in his ceiling. That he was insanely efficient as a super young player playing alongside Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. We used to put a feather in his cap that Jameson Williams had to transfer because he couldn't get playing time over him. That might not matter.
Maybe just while we're here on Jameson Williams, who is a huge faller, I actually don't think the issue with Jameson Williams seems to be his ability to play football, but all the reporting just kind of makes him sound like a jerk. It seems like it's maybe a personality thing that he just is not super driven, not a super team sport oriented guy. And that feels like maybe a bigger deal than his ability to play football.
Yeah. We talked about how we need analytics for the personalities. We'll be working on that. But the thing with JSN, why I wouldn't be taking him personally over Flowers is the ceiling of what this profile, you know, could be. Like that JSN, I think, does have the prospect profile of someone who could absolutely smash as a rookie. And how likely is that to happen? Far less likely than Jamar Chase was likely to turn into Jamar Chase. Because there's a lot more, like, you got to do more squinting.
Yeah.
For it to come to fruition. But he, like, the yards per route run, you know, being able to be competitive in terms of the dominator rating, the market share yards, as what a true sophomore with those older guys there with him is really encouraging for when you look at ceiling type of outcomes. So I do think, like, compared to Zay Flowers, his potential ceiling is quite a bit higher.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I just feel like it's like the NFL season is so short. You're lopping off a third of the games.
Yeah.
And like JSN might be way better than Zay Flowers. But like now we're talking about just like a 10 game stretch where they're both healthy. Like that's such a small sample. Like I kind of just and I can squint and see an upside case with Zay Flowers could dust Rashad Bateman and Odell and be the Ravens' clear number one wide receiver. Like, I think that's firmly in the range of outcomes.
Yeah, but even then, he's the number two behind Andrews, you know? And also, I think that's pretty unlikely. That's sort of the issue with, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Like, if I was playing Dynasty, I would take JSN over those guys for sure. But, like, I just think it's a little bit of Dynasty brain. That said, he probably does fall behind those guys. With
I don't think it's Dynasty brain for me, to be honest. I think it's week 17 brain. It's who's going to absolutely crush for me. Like, is that changed? Is there any downside with this wrist injury for his playoffs? Like, no. Like, it's not lower body. Like, it's a, you know, he'll be totally healthy by then. So, it's more just like, who's got the highest ceiling for the final weeks of the season? To me, it's still clearly JSN over Flowers and Quentin Johnston, by the way, who we should probably touch on. Like, people were psyched about his highlights and stuff from the preseason, but it's not clear he's ahead of Palmer right now, which again isn't like a huge concern, but when you start to think about like JSN going in the Quentin Johnston range, like Quentin Johnston might have a pretty slow start to the season, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen. That Josh Palmer's going to play over him in week one. I feel pretty strong about that.
Which, no reason to panic, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, sounds like we disagree a little bit on JSN. But, again, like, I don't think we're actually that far off if we were, like, ranking them. It's probably just, like, I have a couple players over JSN. It sounds like, Pat, you have Addison just ahead.
I have Addison ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's probably, like, I would maybe put Flowers ahead. I don't even think I put Johnson ahead because I think he has playing time risk, too. It's just – so I think we disagree on the margins, but I think this is largely an appropriate market reaction to JSN's injury.
I'm like two picks behind ADP right now, or like a pick and a half behind ADP.
Yeah, I think you could nitpick in that range, but I think this is, if you want to get some exposure here, like I'm not saying this is a terrible idea to buy the dip here, just to be clear. Like, I'm just probably nitpicking a couple players that go behind him. Okay, should we do a draft unless there's anything...
I think the Kyler Murray randomly falling here at the end is just really funny that we just have decided in the last 2 weeks of drafting that we don't want the guy who might not play at all this year. Like, it's, I don't know. It's just kind of funny.
I think it's the Josh. Is it the Josh Dobbs trade that spooked people?
It could be. Yeah. I mean, it really, I actually think what it is, it's that the market was pricing in a little bit of, oh shit, Kyler is back on the practice field 10 days before the season. And then it just never came. Although, to be fair, he could be practicing with the Cardinals, and we would have no idea because they have the worst beat writers in the game.
Why don't they have beat writers? Like, hey, Athletic, like, pick someone to cover the Cardinals. Why is that not happening? They're an NFL franchise. Why don't we have beat writers for them?
The only beat writers are for the
Cardinals.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hop in a draft here. We did have this, which I'll very quickly show. We can maybe touch on this during the draft. I think there's some RB2 stuff we can talk about, but we'll probably hit on it.
I think Justice Hill is the Ravens running back too, just while we're here.
I have so much Gus Edwards from early, and I was like, well, what's wrong about that? I don't think.
Pat, are you manning the ones and twos here?
Yeah, I'll get this going.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, the Edwards I've completely
stopped. Is Pat going to be able to share his screen with us in his hotel room?
I believe so.
Okay. I don't want to tax. I don't want to tax your. Are you in a hotel in San Diego right now?
No, I'm in. Hang on, I'm trying to.
He's in an undisclosed location.
Quit and reopen. All right, I'll be back.
All right. Classic. We can talk some of these things quickly. The one that I think is really under the radar is Matt Breda on the Giants. Like, we're just bored of him, right? But he's clearly the running back too. Like, why
that's,
is he never
that's
get drafted?
One, so that's one where I think the market actually has this right. We're like, sure, Matt Breda will play like his little snaps per game or whatever. But Gray is the one who has the chance to actually grow into a role that impacts Saquon's touches in the year, because he actually might have some juice. Like, he might be like, okay. Not that I am a Eric Gray truther, but that, I think the market has that one right. I think the market has most of these right. Although Ty Chandler should be going.
So we're about to be on the clock. We have the 103. The sharing is being a pain, but who do you got? It's like at 103.
Christian McCaffrey.
CMC. Yeah.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey.
I don't start divorcing my round one picks from ADP until after Kelce goes. There we go.
Yeah, you can talk me into Cup here if like you guys both really wanted to, but
I've been McCaffrey like 3.
Recently. I've been McCaffrey 3 too. Man, we're just I think there's part of us that's just like you could totally make the case for McCaffrey at 1. Like I'm not saying that's what I would do, but there's a little bit of us that's just like bored of McCaffrey when it's still the same ceiling outcome, like maybe even higher in this offense than it was in Carolina. And we're just kind of like, yeah, we'll take him at 3. Like, let's not even think about it.
Well, that's what, when I did the legendary scenarios, I was like, we will need to have like a debrief on why Christian McCaffrey, who I believe would
it was a good legendary season.
Yeah,
it was a good line. You had we'll spend about 18 minutes debating on why McCaffrey didn't go first overall before we start arguing about is Caleb Williams better than Patrick Mahomes? Like,
yeah, that's so true.
This is such a good one. Caleb Williams is going to be the highest drafted rookie fantasy quarterback of all time. My guess right now on Monday, August 28th, 2023, is that when we're doing the show next year, Caleb Williams is a 4th round pick. That is my guess.
Wow. A 4th round pick in best ball?
Wow. People love this guy. And he is really that good. But the thing about him, though, is Caleb Williams is a actual, like, not like a C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence scrambler. He is a running quarterback who is also the greatest passing quarterback in college football. Like and he's huge. He's like 6'2", 225 pounds. Like he's a giant guy too.
I just went before you said that from, I guess I just want to have Kenny Caleb Williams to being like, I'm drafting Caleb Williams in the 4th round next year. That sounds
good. You got to enter those tournaments in February before he steams up that high. You got to take,
he had 500 rushing yards and 6 rushing touchdowns as an 18-year-old true freshman. Like, He's nuts, dude. He's gonna win the Heisman twice. He's gonna win the Heisman twice.
Wow. All right. So how much better is he than Patrick Mahomes?
It's hard to say.
Should the Chiefs trade Patrick Mahomes?
The more interesting thing,
you get
is
that rookie contract too. So I mean, maybe it makes sense.
Oh man, we're gonna be stuck in hell here. We're going to get this impossible 2-3 turn pick that you just can't, because like once a lot, well, I'm going to want to take Derrick Henry and you guys are both going to say no on that. No chance.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
I've got enough Henry.
Used to be able to get, back in my day, used to be able to get Tony Pollard at the 210 every once in a while. Ooh,
man, those were the days.
You could get Chubb, Pollard, Derrick Henry all in like the early third.
We are officially in hell. We could take Devonta Smith and
I take Devonta Smith in this spot.
Yeah, I want to take Devonta Smith and see if we can get Hurts to come around.
Yep.
Right.
That's the way to play it.
That's the way to play it. Correct.
And then I actually have this. I do this a lot. Like I have a lot of these teams that are Christian McCaffrey, Devonta Smith. It's probably one of my highest combos.
Yeah, and then you get sniped on Hurts one pick before every time.
You get sniped on Hurts.
It was a good process.
It was definitely a good process. But there's a couple other guys that I don't mind taking once we get sniped on Hurts.
Yeah. Jacobs, if we're saying Jacobs is going to rise, it's not a terrible time to get your last chance at kind of late Josh Jacobs if Hurts goes.
Week 17, who projects for more points? Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews or Devonta Smith and Jalen Hurts, who projects straight up for more points. Yeah. Ooh. All right, there we go. We got Hurts.
We got Hurts. Hurts is the way to go here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good question, Davis, but I think Hurts Devonta projects for more. But
I bet it's not. If Lamar is healthy in week 17, I bet you just add, you go to establishtherun.com, you add the two columns up. I bet Lamar Andrews projects for more half point PPR points than Devonta and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy with that because I have so much Lamar. I have so much Andrews. Sadly, I don't have them together that much, but I have a ton of them both individually.
You have to do it at the 2-3 turn now if you want it.
You have to, yeah. By the way, I was on a stream with Liam. And he was talking about like this unique combo, you know, you're reaching for Andrews and Lamar. I was like, dude, it's not unique. Like everybody's doing that. And he goes, no, dude, at the 1-2 turn.
That is unique.
See, the same thing happened to me, David. So I was like, right. What?
Liam is the best, dude. Liam is the most vibes-based drafter of all time. But he's like a savant in some way, you know, I think it would be very easy for someone who's trying to nag Liam to be like, oh, he just shipped, like, whatever. Anyone can ship it once. But he literally won the 5-5-5 on DK the next year.
Yeah.
Like, it's very impressive.
And the 2K as well.
Yeah. Like, it's not...
That's not a real tournament. There's, like, 12 people in that one, so we can throw that out.
Hey man, so it's 2K you're risking. You didn't even want it.
I'm just trying to process all the points you're giving up doing Lamar Andrews at the 1-2 turn. It's like you are losing.
Just different combo,
massive,
dude. Just a different combo. Just
you're losing, combo. But the thing is
you have to say there's no difference between like Amari Cooper and AJ Brown if you're making that argument. That's what you have to say.
But it's like your 3-4 turn, you're just like, shit. I have to hope that Ramondre Stevenson outscores Tony Pollard, and I got to hope that Deebo Samuel outscores AJ Brown. You're losing bad. So many points. Yeah.
I actually like the argument. I heard a stream with Hayden and Liam, and they were talking about it in Eliminator. Like, if you just wanted to auto draft Eliminator and take like Lamar Andrews at the 1-2 turn every time. I think in like a – oh, wait, sorry, not Eliminator. Weekly Winners. Yeah, Weekly Winners. I think that – because in any given week, I think those 3-4 players could outscore those 1-2 turn. And if you just want to say, I want Andrews and Lamar every single time and, you know, see what happens after that, I think it makes sense in Weekly Winners kind of. But
I mean, there will be 1 week of the 17 weeks where those are the two highest scoring players, period, in fantasy, where no other player scores more points than them. So if that's your baseline, it's just a matter of, you know, do you get the right combo in your other, you know, your other 16 roster spots?
All right, so we're on the clock.
Yet another just disgusting spot here.
No, Drake London here is beautiful.
I don't even like Drake London. It's fine.
I love Drake London.
It's better than, I mean, I like when he falls here.
I have the same concerns about Drake London that I have for Kyle Pitts, but Drake London has to put up wide receiver points and Kyle Pitts just has to put up tight end points, and you're getting Pitts 40 spots cheaper.
But here's what I don't have concerns about, that he's not going to have an elite route rate.
Yeah.
He's going to be out there every single snap.
Yeah.
And that Pitts, for whatever reason, is getting rotated out, which is going to hurt because when the pie is that small.
It's not for whatever reason. It's that he's got a little knee injury right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he was wearing a brace all offseason, and someone made the point that, like, you don't wear knee braces for fun, guys. Like, it's
all right. So this.
Oh,
this...
I wanted to.
It's Deontay, right? Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably Deontay here. Should we talk Kirk? Is Deontay over Kirk?
I mix them. It's interchangeable to me, but we already have our quarterback, okay. So we don't have to sweat setting up Trevor.
Do
Lawrence.
We care about week six? No, wait, no, I lied. That's not a correlation. Forget what I said.
And this sets us up. This sets us up to take the falling JSN as well.
It does. So there you go, Sam. Get excited.
Oh man.
Oh, this also, by the way, sets us up. This sets us up for round 15, Michael Wilson. We can set the max on Michael Wilson in WrestleMania.
My thing with JSN, I think, is like I saw the worst JSN takes on my timeline, and now I'm just arguing against the straw man in
that's
my
what, isn't
head.
That what you do, though? Isn't that what?
That's like my whole brand. Like, yeah.
It's like, I'm not even sure like what you saw. Like, what did Sam see? You need to like quote, like, no more subtweets. Like, tell us who you're mad at. Because I'm like, what is Sam even tilting right now?
Yeah, I don't know. It was hard to figure out the source of what I was tilting, but there were some takes like that were just like, the injury doesn't matter. He's a playoff play anyways. It's like, yeah, the guy who broke his wrist and is missing 6 games. Like, it doesn't matter at all.
4 games, Sam. Come on.
Doesn't matter, dude. Just fine.
You gotta exaggerate. You gotta exaggerate a little bit. When you argue against the straw man, you gotta
You also have to become a straw man yourself.
Exactly.
You have to become a straw man.
It's only fair if you argue back with a straw man argument. Do you guys kind of feel like there's just no, like, when you guys were drafting in June, I felt like I was getting, like, these awesome picks. Like, oh, this is three rounds of value. Whether it materialized or not, like, in my head, I was talking myself into, like, this is a smash.
Yeah, there's no value picks right now.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right.
And I just straight up will not click, like, half the guys. So, like, I already know who I'm going to take when I'm on the clock. Like, I just, they're just, you know, I'm not clicking literally half the player pool that gets drafted. It's just, they just like Alexander Mattison literally might as well not exist for me. I might be so trained that I could be like on the clock in round 10. And I just am so like never clicking Alexander Mattison that I might just pass right over him. Cause I'm like, I don't take that guy.
I take Mattison.
Do you? I never take him. I mean, I would take him around 10, obviously, but
yeah, sure.
I have no interest in,
it's just, I like Kenneth Walker, here, like, Dobbins and Swift more than him, so it's just
yeah. Dobbins over Mattison is like an easy one for me. Because here's the thing,
I'm not a Dobbins bull either, really.
I am at the sixth round. Pierce over Mattison, no question.
Pierce over Mattison for sure.
Like I feel pretty confident Mattison is not good, and that's a problem.
It's more that I just don't feel confident that he is good. And if you don't feel confident that he is good, the projectable volume bet is very fragile. Like he's Luke Musgrave, but at running back is just like, sure, he's the guy, so we're giving him the ball. But like,
right.
But I would think that, like, just pushing back on the projection a tiny bit, like the people who do projections like ETR, I think their pushback there would be like they're probably docking the shit out of Madison's ceiling odds, yeah, and like sure doing a shit. They're probably factoring that all in, and they still have him ranked at like pick 60 or something. So it's like a little Jacobsy to me, where I don't think he's very good, but like the Vikings are playing Ty Chandler like deep into preseason games. Like I don't think the Vikings think these other guys are any good at all. So I don't know. I see how you lose, but the price seems fine. We should talk about what we're going
to
pick.
He, to me, seems like a real silent killer type season guy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just take a receiver is honestly the
Javonte, because we like all the wide receivers on the clock.
Oh, get some ice on JSN here.
Well, we should take Javonte because we like all the next five wide receivers.
What about Arizona week 17? Any Marquise Brown?
We take
Brown?
Michael Wilson. We take Michael Wilson. Or Hollywood. We're fine with any
all of them, these so wide... grab Javonte.
Yes.
What about, wait, we don't want Goddard? We don't want Goddard with, are we going to take a tight end in the next pick?
Well,
I don't like Dallas Goddard that much.
Okay. I'm fine with Javonte.
I think we need the receiver structurally.
Yeah.
I would have wanted to go wide receiver tight end, I think.
Yeah,
I
was, we could have done that too. Yeah.
Also, yeah. Goddard sometimes randomly falls too because people don't really like to click him that much naked. So when you're the Hurts team, you kind of drive him. Not that I think we'll get him at the 8-10, but it's like, I don't know, 3% possible.
So I guess we're stuck with Pittman.
We could take Quentin Johnson. He correlates with Javonte.
I think we're overthinking Pittman a little bit if we're taking the Chargers. Maybe number
I like Pittman. I felt very invigorated by what I saw from the Colts in preseason week three. There were some naysayers, but I was like, it checked all the boxes for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Pittman in the seventh is fine.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Got a lot of round five Pittman mixed in that. So I'm hoping that round seven Pittman is a league winner because I need round five Pittman to be fine.
The Marquise Brown, Dallas Goedert 2v2 seems pretty fun. I kind of wish we did that.
Yeah. I like Goddard. I like Goddard a lot. Just because, I don't know. I guess we already took Devonta, so some of the ceiling case is gone with him. But in a season where A.J. Brown and Devonta were healthy the whole year, Goddard paced for like 1,000 yards. That was also, again, with the Eagles like basically not playing football in the fourth quarter last year on offense. Like they were just handing it off to Boston Scott in the fourth quarter and didn't have to throw
imagine a world where Jalen Hurts throws the ball 600 times and the target shares are the same that they were last year. It like these guys can go so nuclear. Yeah,
that's what, and I think for AJ Brown and Smith, it's like the ceiling is priced in, but I don't know. Like Pitts, that's the thing. Where I don't have much Pitts this year, and I can see where I'm wrong just on his talent being much better than Goddard's. But like the floor and ceiling feels quite good for me, like with Goddard. Like his weekly ceiling, even in a season where his target share is not that good, the pass volume is not that good, like he's still on the Eagles offense tied to Jalen Hurts, whereas Pitts, like, man, the floor, some of the floor stuff with him gets kind of scary for me. So,
well,
the
yeah,
chat
but
roasting
it's like...
us for taking Javonte when we talked about JSN's wrist and Javonte's coming off a major knee injury.
He played in the preseason. He played in the – no, dude, Javonte – if Javonte never suffered this injury, where is he going? And it's him and P. Ryan, a two-man backfield. Where is he going? I still feel like Javonte has negative
inertia keeping him down.
Yes. Yeah. And he's way ahead of schedule, which is not to say that he's 100% because I don't think he is, but he's way ahead of where we expected him to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So strategy-wise, I'm just going to float this out. I've been tie-breaking towards like not picking running backs as much now because in the last couple rounds of these, I want Kyren Williams. I want Chris Evans.
Yeah, I need to do that more.
I want to be like three of those guys that aren't getting drafted at the end. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
See, I've been doing the opposite.
To unlock that.
I've been taking more zero RB, more elite quarterback, a little bit more elite tight end. Like I've been pretty heavy on like more running backs earlier than you guys early in the offseason, but I've been kind of like anchor running back, like zero running back now to try to take advantage of some of these RB2s just for the leverage stuff. That's what I'm trying to do with my last like 20 bullets in BBM is like a ton of hero RB with like Pollard.
See, I've literally been doing the opposite and just ending every draft with Tutu and Deonte Hardy.
I mean, you can do it with wide receiver too.
I like both those guys.
Yeah. This is going to be an interesting spot.
Well, I have the eighth round has become like four a player for me. So we'll see. Oh, the eighth round, I take Bateman in the eighth round, like,
I was gonna say Bateman, Herbert, and Richardson. Oh, Traylon, I like Richardson. I like Richardson, and then just being done, like, obviously at quarterback.
Should we take Traylon just because the wide receivers get so gross after him?
Let's take Traylon.
We can get a wide receiver, or we can get a running back or quarterback. I think we like,
and we can eat 2 weeks of zeros or whatever while he gets back from this knee. Too.
Herbert was the guy I was also eyeing there.
Herbert would have been good there.
Was anyone else really
good fifth receiver? Is nice.
Was anyone else shocked that Brian Robinson was the top five Sean Siegel zero RB list guy? Every name made sense to me, but I was like, no chances he had Brian Robinson in here. I would actually take Anthony Richardson here, and then we can take Alec Pierce and just be done.
Yep. I mean, we already have Pittman, too. We don't even need Pierce.
Oh!
We want, but...
Yes,
Richardson. Oh, I forgot we had Pittman. Yeah, let's get Richardson.
Yeah, Pittman. Yeah. Oh! Yeah. Oh, our quarterback room just ran for 2,000 yards. It feels beautiful. I love... God damn, taking Anthony Richardson in the ninth round feels so good.
There's a couple spots that still feel weird to me, like Anthony Richardson just readily available in the ninth, Bateman readily available in the eighth. Where did Dobbins go in this draft?
Early. Yeah.
Sixth?
Yeah, Yeah.
Dobbins, I do not understand. Maybe I'm just like used to kind of where guys used to go, but like
he doesn't catch any passes.
Yeah, but it's it is half PPR. If you told me Dobbins was
currently... No, you can't. Okay, hold on. I'm calling foul. Crane, you and I are both terrible at this. Like, I would say of all analysts, we are amongst the three worst offenders of this, where a guy we don't like, we penalize the shit out of him for whatever it is. But a guy we do like, we yada, yada, yada it. J.K. Dobbins doesn't catch passes. It's fine. It's fine. It's 0.5 PPR, you know? Like,
I'm also the sixth foul round. Fine. Sure. Fine. But if you told me that J.K. Dobbins was on the 4-5 turn, I wouldn't be surprised.
Sure.
And then guess what? He doesn't catch passes, dude. You can't take him there. So you're right. I would flip. I'd flip on him hard. But I do think, like, I kind of want to – I mean, you know, I'm just defending my yada, yada, yada-ness. But, like, I do want to raise the red flags when the price is high and talk about the upside when the price is low to some extent. You know, we can all overdo
and it. But... Yeah, micro take on the Ravens. Like, I don't think the difference between Greg Roman and Todd Monken can be like overstated enough. Like, I think this offense is going to be so different. Obviously, Lamar, I still expect to scramble, and that will hurt Dobbins. But this offense was using running backs, like, so much differently than any other offense in the NFL with Greg Roman. Like, super heavy personnel. You know, Patrick Ricard is playing a ton of snaps, tons of two tight end stuff. Like, you know, I definitely can't say, like, Dobbins is guaranteed to catch more passes, but it's going to be a completely different offense.
I think he'll run. I think he'll run more routes. I think you could say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. Like, Lamar, I think structurally just doesn't like to check down that much, but I bet he will run more routes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, if, like, we're hyping up, you know, James Cook's pass catching, obviously Dobbins, different prospect, different player than James Cook, but like, I think Dobbins has a little more pass catching ceiling than he did the rest of his career. I'm not saying it's going to be something crazy high, but
there is one very clear pick for our team here. And I think he's going to get sniped. I think he's going to go before we get there, but there's one guy who we got to take.
All right. I have a guy in mind. I'm hoping it's the same guy.
It's not going to be, but there's just like for our structural stuff, there's one guy who fits our team like a glove.
Nice.
And it's not Juju. It's not Juju Smith-Schuster.
It's not Juju Smith-Schuster. So that was Sam's guy.
That was my guy. Thielen, wait, you guys see Thielen's preseason highlights? We don't want to take him on the fence.
Yeah, he got tackled. He got tackled. Man. Yeah. Okay, Friermuth was the guy who structurally we had the game stack set up. We needed a tight end.
Jalen Warren was the guy that I was.
I don't get why isn't Joku falling like so much? Like, I've been scooping him around pick 120. Like, I guess it's not the most exciting. Like,
it's because we're just bored. It's because we're just bored.
Talk about guys with locked in route rates, like. David Njoku is.
Yeah. I mean, the next running back for me would be like McKinnon. So,
yeah.
Because we can't take P. Ryan. Do you guys want to just scoop the value here?
Yeah.
I want to scoop the Njoku. Yeah.
Value hounding, baby.
We talked about how there's no values, but here we go. You let us get a value room.
There's not been a single story about him. There's not been, like, he just has not been part of the conversation at all.
Yeah. He's got some athletic hype. Like, the beat writers for the Browns have really been hyping him up, but it doesn't seem to have made its way to, like, the Twitter.
Didn't he run, like, every single route with
His role is, like, going to be one of the best tight end roles in the NFL. I'm pretty confident of that. Like, yeah, whether he can. Earn targets at like at a high level, I'm not sure, but pick 120, I mean, it seems pretty good.
So do we want to push running back? Because I don't like any of these guys.
Well, just pull up the zero running back list, and there's two guys on it who are available.
But can we push? I would push Marvin Mims here is honestly who I would push.
It's fine. Yeah.
We already got Javonte.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think – I think Myers and Zay Jones are definitely like
– Myers also correlates as a bring
we
back,
don't,
so we could do that.
We don't – Myers is fine, but do we need a stop?
We can go for more upside, I guess, with Mims.
Yeah. Like Myers is my preferred guy in that round where I have – like maybe I took McLaurin or maybe I took JSN. You know, and I just need a guy who's going to be like 9.5 half-point PPR or whatever. Like, I'll take Myers there. But when he's your sixth guy and you don't have any injured guys or any suspended guys, I think it's Mims.
So I like in this build, maybe like we're trending towards 2-6-7-3 here. Like six running backs on McCaffrey feels like a lot. But if we take them all super late, I think it actually makes sense,
and
right?
Our first two running backs have the same bye week as well.
Yeah.
So.
Like, and hopefully we can get, like, a Mingo or someone here that we, like, feel good about as our seventh wide receiver and then just crank out running backs and tight ends, maybe. We'll see.
Should have taken Kincaid. Way more fun to take Kincaid.
No.
No, come on.
We can't let Liam win.
Listen, Liam's going to win. Liam's going to win. It's going to be Kincaid is going to score two touchdowns like in the right week, and somehow he's going to advance some team with Kincaid on it. He's going to get to victory lap, and then Dawson Knox on that same team will score a touchdown in week 16. And then he'll wash out in the final. I'm sorry, you're going to make the finals with that team, Liam, but then it's going to wash out because you have two terrible tight ends.
Because Deontay Hardy got seven targets out of the slot in week 17 against the Patriots.
Deontay Hardy's the guy you need. And that's how we get Davis. Davis, that's how you win, buddy.
If Deontay Hardy is the guy you need, I've got to be the most well-positioned analyst of anyone. Like I'm not saying there's no one who's drafted more Hardy than me, but I got to be close to the number one. In fact, to the point that when people know it's me in the draft, Hardy sometimes goes in the 17th round because I just take him every time.
I need to start taking him more. I've taken some.
But. Yeah. I have 5%, which feels pretty good for a guy who's been undrafted all year.
That's pretty good.
I was
303 teams.
Shakir. I was never.
I've got a lot of Deontay Hardy.
I took Shakir for a minute. And
Shakir is dead. The Bills beat writers are saying he might be a healthy scratch because he doesn't play special teams.
Yeah, Tyquan Shakir.
Hey, I was really in trying to get you guys off Tyquan, and you kept drafting him for a couple more weeks.
I sometimes take him in round 20 on drafters now, just because it's like, what else am I doing with my life? I can't take Sean Tucker. He's not on this site.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this isn't even
Devontae
like
Parker exposure makes me a little sad because it is. It's just that high. There's no way this works. But yeah,
I have 30% Devontae Parker, my highest owned player. It's disgusting. I don't really want to talk about it.
That is truly disgusting. I have 17% Parker. So you have twice as much Parker as me, and I feel gross about my Parker.
I mean, choice all offseason was like, do you want Devontae Parker or Khalil Shakir? And I'm sorry, but there was a correct answer to that question, and I answered the test right. It's not going to work in the end. He's obviously going to get injured, but it was a good process.
Yeah, obviously, the correct answer was some random running back that we've yet to identify.
Yeah. Fuck, Mingo goes. That's a bummer. And Reed goes. I mean, when I get backed into a corner here,
we're not backed into a corner at all.
No, I'm just saying
really strong picks.
Algiers.
Gainwell.
I like Algiers
first. Gainwell first.
Oh, we have Hurts. All right, fine with Hurts.
Yeah, Gainwell's a no brainer, right? With Hurts.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't click for me that we had Hurts, but once you mentioned that, it's like, oh yeah, we got to take him.
Yeah, that's probably good on this build too, because if Javonte starts slow, we probably just need some like gross like 8-point Kenny Gainwell weeks.
What if Gainwell isn't gross? And what if the Eagles beat writers weren't lying and Gainwell actually does have like this like really gnarly role in the offense? Everyone nah waves it and just says like all three guys are playing, Swift plays, Penny gets his work. But like if you had to bet on one Eagles back to lead the team in touches the first month of the season, I think you would bet Gainwell.
If you let me change that bet to snaps, then I would be very happy to take Gainwell. It's just the touches part.
Fair point. I actually think you're right. Like he's going to get a lot of low value touches. I think Roshan too. What if I told you that Roshan went from being a guy we thought might not be active until week four to the passing down back for the Chicago Bears and straight up week one.
That passing down back for the Chicago Bears is a role that you definitely want to chase.
You really want it.
you gotta lock that up in the 13th round.
You gotta lock Justin Fields passing targets down.
There's exactly one fantasy football analyst who has touted Travis Homer this offseason, and I'm looking at him.
Hey, man, when Deonta Foreman gets cut because of Travis Homer's punt gunner role, I'm going to victory lap that take. I'll find a way to victory lap that take.
Deonta Foreman is getting cut because Roshan proved that he's good enough to play right away instead of having to be a healthy scratch.
I'm capitulating on Roshan. I'm not capitulating on my Travis Homer Matters take. I'm finding a way to.
Well, I mean, Homer, we are Matters literally. Take.
Life is going to make you capitulate hard on that one. I'm telling you.
we are going to.
If Donta Foreman gets, I was raising the red flags for one of these guys is either going to get cut or be inactive on game day.
Yeah, that's part of the play. That's part of why.
I like Roshan. I'm drafting Roshan now, but
yeah,
guess
draft
what?
All three did he rise? Awesome.
Did he rise in price? Like. After this news that he's playing, no, you can still get him. The
I know
same
we're
exact
I know
spot.
We're CLV guys, but like getting the points is the most important thing, and I think having some Roshan bags from earlier in the offseason is even if the price doesn't rise, it's still going to be good.
Yeah, but I just think there's a thing like, you chase the ambiguous backfield. I get that, but like sometimes you got to like, in my opinion, like go to the next level, and like this Bears backfield is going to be one of the lowest expected points backfields in the NFL. Like, I am very confident in that with Justin Fields at quarterback, not passing to running backs, stealing a ton of goal line stuff. Like, it could just be a three-headed monster that, like, sucks for fantasy, which is why the prices are so low. So it's like, I don't know. I was fine waiting out the uncertainty, and I'll take my Roshan now, and I'll get to 7%, and I'm fine with that.
Like, I didn't hear you mention Travis Homer there when you it seems like
hey man, he's gonna make the roster and Donta Foreman's probably getting cut, so that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Damn, our tight ends are getting savage right now.
Yeah.
You hate to see it. This is gonna be a Hunter Henry ahead of ADP team.
Well, there's a couple guys left.
I mean, the
one guy in particular.
Gerald, I take Gerald Everett. It's,
yes,
it's I would not too. Fun, but
I agree. Yeah.
We could also take Alec Pierce, right? And probably be done at receiver, but that would be a nice second stack piece.
I would rather take Josh Downs in the 18th when we already have Pittman.
Should we grab Everett then?
Yeah. I think we go Everett.
Downs, did you guys catch this? The Downs.
Another guy I would say is Spears, real quick, because he's. I mean, Spears is kind of a smash, and he's a zero
running
back guy.
Yeah, sure. Click Spears first.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy in front of us has zero tight ends, is all I'll say.
Oh, you're – no, actually, Sam's right. Everett first. This guy has four running
I think
backs.
We
need Everett more. It sucks, but we need Everett more.
I think we do. Because tight end actually, like, you used to be able to get, like, smash tight ends in the 18th. Like, now it's, like, a little – dicey. I do like Spears. I definitely like Spears.
Well, they both have the same buy, so we are taking a third tight end.
Yeah,
but there goes.
Oh, I was planning that anyways. I think if you get Njoku at
no, I think we need it anyway too.
Yeah,
losing Spears hurts.
Yeah, would have been fun. But again, I do want to take some of these like undrafted guys. Like Spears has been getting drafted all year. I do want to take some of these like Kyren Williams like types.
Should we just grab Pierce here?
Yeah, I think we'd be done at wide receiver and take Pierce. What do you guys think?
I like Jeff Wilson. Thoughts on Jeff Wilson? I guess we have the specter of the Jonathan Taylor trade hanging over us.
Yeah, that's part of it for me. Plus, it's like a correlated
like,
guy.
I like Downs. I like Downs better, but it's fine. Pierce is
it's
fine.
A round pass ADP, and yeah, it's a tough one. But I think we just take Pierce for the correlation. Because now, yeah. Like, I really do think, like, if you're drafting now, like, what's the difference really between Devin Singletary and Kyren Williams? I think actually Kyren Williams is, like, projects better on a weekly
He's
basis,
better.
Probably.
Kyren's a better pick than Singletary.
Yeah. Not saying we were going to take Singletary, we would have taken Wilson, but, like, I do really like getting some of these guys that have not been getting drafted all year at this point.
Keontae Ingram.
Yeah.
Josh Kelly.
Ingram is a good one.
Kelly's great. Let me pull up. I made a little cheat sheet. Some other guys we can talk through. While you left, Pat, we were talking about Breda. Like, Davis wasn't into him, but he's a guy who's, like, so clearly, like, the RB2 for the Giants, in my opinion. And, like, he's literally going to get drafted in, like, 0% of these.
Yeah, that makes him a good pick.
Right? Like, I don't know. It's hard to talk yourself into. Like, he's not going to have a role. I'm not, like, ignorant to that. Like, he's not going to have a role, but... He played all the snaps of the starters in the preseason. And like behind, like Jashawn Corbin, I think actually played ahead of Eric Gray this preseason game. So it's like
Eric Gray was also like not a very good prospect. Yeah. He's kind of like a middling receiver type dude. Like there's nothing, there's no real reason to be super excited about him.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Breida, right, is that you do have to think through it from the best ball mania perspective of you trying to 1-16, trying to get through one team out of 16 teams in both weeks 15 and 16. So the odds that Breida does anything in either of those weeks are very low, but it's like you're probably going to be the only team with him if he does.
Yeah.
And his odds of doing it like aren't that much lower than, you know, I think that maybe Tajay Spears is a little bit better, but like Deuce Vaughn just got drafted. Like, yeah, Deuce Vaughn's been pretty regularly drafted. I think his odds of doing that are about as high as Deuce Vaughn's. And you'll
they're
be
higher. They're higher than Deuce. Yeah. Look, I like Deuce Vaughn. I love him. I went to the same college as him. We're the same size. You know, I love Deuce Vaughn. But Mike McCarthy has no interest in giving that dude 10-plus touches a game. None.
Yeah, Rico Dowdle is the one who rested with the starters and Deuce Vaughn played. Like, it's Rico Dowdle as RB2. By the way, Malik Davis played behind, like, Hunter Lepke. Like, he's...
Yeah, yeah. It's gotta, over gotta eat that one. Gotta eat that yeah. one. Ben drafting some Malik Davis is not happening.
Yeah. The only way Dowdle, I think, loses that RB2 role is if they really think highly of Rojo. I guess we'll learn that tomorrow, right? Like, they'll cut Rojo if he's... Or wait, do they have to make a decision on Rojo? I don't
know. No, I think when you're suspended, you don't count against the 53. Okay.
That's why he did it. That's why. Because he did a little for the two games, so he'd make the roster. He's actually super fucking smart.
Your Shane daily Rojo update? Damn. We are getting locked out of the late upside tight ends.
It's all right. We got Everett.
I think Everett and like having Everett and Njoku makes me feel like we can get fucking Cade Otton or Durham Smythe, and I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
What do you guys want to do here?
I mean, I would take like Kyren at this point. I would take one of these undrafted running backs.
I think we take Taysom Hill. We need some ceiling at tight end. I'm being serious.
Taysom over Knox.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I mean, Taysom's a little after ADP, and I'm fine with it. This is
And there are multiple running backs that we can take here as well. Like, there's not just one that I think is a target.
Is there something to the fact that if we've taken two tight ends with the same bye week, we want to count on Taysom? Whatever, we can take him, but that's probably overthinking it too much.
It's like any tight end this late is probably not very their likelihood of scoring points in week five specifically is pretty low. So
yeah,
whatever. But yeah,
we just need Taysom Spike to come at the right time.
Yeah, people are still doing the like other tight ends being signed with the Saints like matters for Taysom. It's like, oh, Taysom's not playing in the preseason. It's like, yeah, I'm not shocked that Taysom Hill like package isn't being used in the preseason. Like,
why would it be?
Yeah, like,
it'd be so weird if it was, right?
Yeah, it would be so bizarre.
It would be straight up bizarre if that was like what they would be like. Why? For what purpose?
Yeah,
here's the trick plays we're planning on using this year.
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that?
Oh man,
you guys are not ready to hear about the running back that I'm gonna tout, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire is starting for the Chiefs in week one. It's like no one even cares.
Oh no.
Kyren here.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just Kyren Williams, but he's on the Chiefs.
No, Davis, you can't take Clyde.
This is bad and wrong. I mean, it's fine because we need a running back, but I just want it on the record. Clyde is not going to score in week 17.
Right, no,
Clyde is not scoring in week 17, but he is scoring in week one.
We can't do it with
CEH. Oh, no, it's got it. The week one point it sold me because we have Javonte, but maybe we'll.
You are so right that CH is just Kyren Williams on the Chiefs. I hate how good of a point that was.
I posted this cry for help tweet about CH yesterday, and Adam Scherer responded and was like, it's just hard for me to take him over Kyren Williams, and that was the first thing that came to my mind. Is I was like, these are like the same unathletic, shitty, like theoretical pass catching back, but one of them's on the Rams and one of them's on the Chiefs.
But if Jerick McKinnon was on the Rams, we would never even consider taking Kyren Williams.
Yeah, that's
But the
true.
Thing is McKinnon is going to do – it's going to be the same thing that happened last year. McKinnon is going to be kept in the break glass in case of emergency until the weather gets cold. They're not play, 31-year-old Jerick McKinnon is not playing 35% of the snaps for the Chiefs weeks 1 through 17. He will be.
Why can't they just get an okay running back? Why can't they do that? Why do they have to have this like special, like, all right, 31-year-old Jerick McKinnon, we got to play this smart. Like, you're the Chiefs. You're the Chiefs. The running back market is the lowest value for any of these guys in the history of the league. You can't find someone.
Frankly, it is very, it is unserious. It is extremely unserious that they have they've hosted 5 AFC conference championship games in a row. And their best performance in any one of those games, I mean, was Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams was the only Chiefs running back who has been good for them in the playoffs. That's it. And Damian a long time ago, Damian in 2018. But yeah, it's unserious. It is.
Yeah. I mean, I think McKinnon's good at what he does still, but to rely on him at this, when he's this old, it's just like, yeah, it's not that expensive.
Like, strategically deploy Jerick McKinnon as the Kansas City Chiefs, you fucked up. Like, just, that shouldn't be part of your plan A. Shouldn't be, let's manage Jerick McKinnon.
I mean, Davis,
like Jerick McKinnon, yeah. 4 years ago, literally is getting Roto-World blurbs that he has dead legs and he is the Chiefs out when they get to the playoffs. They're like, oh, dude, the trainers are working 24/7 with him. He's, you know, he's drinking electrolyte juice. We've got him doing yoga just to get those legs like up and running.
All right, should we start putting some of these gross running backs in the queue here and start talking about them?
I do want to defend Kyren a little bit because Suanne in the chat was pointing out that he's like super unathletic, and I actually went through the other day and looked at some of like these kind of guys like Kyren, like the Jamal Williams of the world, and almost all these guys are just as unathletic as Kyren Williams. If you're going for like guys who can kind of like make their way as like the coach trusts them, pass blocker, you know, productive in college is like a little bit of versatility. Like Kyren actually looks like a lot of these guys who have mattered as contingency rotational backup types. So I don't think the athleticism at this price is really, honestly, I don't think it's really a red flag. It would be if he was like a fifth round pick, I would be hammering it to Davis's point. Then I would be holding it against him. But to me, that's price. I'm using price, not just bias. Okay. Yeah. All right. What do we like here? CEH is still here.
I'll throw out Chris Evans and Rico Dowdle.
No, unserious. Again, more unseriousness. It's like he's under no threat of being cut. Pacheco has a shoulder injury. McKinnon is 31. I don't even like. I hate that you guys are like Sean Tucker went ahead of him. The third running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers goes off the board because we're just that. It is what it is. It doesn't make me any happier than it makes you.
Yeah. My only thought is like, I kind of like CH has been kind of getting drafted all year. Maybe.
Oh, I think we're on the clock. So CH
Clyde.
I mean, we kind of have to give Davis CEH.
Yeah, we got to give Davis CEH.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have been on Rico Dowdle or Chris Evans for the record. But I'd be actually curious what percentage CEH has gotten drafted in these, because that kind of meaningfully influences
my
how
guess
I feel
is
about him.
About between 70% and 80%. Like not everyone, but not like half undrafted. We got an ADP chaser in the chat. Deontay Hardy goes.
That's a good pick.
Know. It is a good pick.
Yeah.
This is a good team. This is a good team. This came in all together.
Yeah, let's recap the team here. So we got Jalen Hurts, Anthony Richardson, Christian McCaffrey, Javonte Williams, Kenneth Gainwell, Roschon Johnson, Kyren Williams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We did what we talked about, grabbing some of these late running backs that aren't going to be on a lot of teams. Devontae Smith, Drake London, Deontay Johnson, Michael Pittman, Treylon Burks, Marvin Mims, and Alec Pierce. And then David Njoku scooping that value, Gerald Everett, and Taysom Hill. Thoughts?
This was a good team. Like, this is just straight up. I think that – so our 2v2 would have been Downs instead of Clyde. And then who did we choose Pierce over? Oh, it would have been Jeff Wilson and Downs versus Alec Pierce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Which side of that do you guys like?
I mean, honestly, probably the downs.
Yeah, side, I like the downs. I like the downs Jeff Wilson side better.
But we got Alec Pierce at like 171. Yeah. Like it's so it's so late there. But I mean that the answer to that is really does JT get traded to the Dolphins or not? It's like so binary.
Yeah, it's binary. Yeah, I kind of think JT is getting traded.
I kind of do too.
I'm now...
It does. It feels very like Miami, flashy city. They made the, you know, they hired Mike McDaniel. They trade for Tyreek immediately. Like it feels like something they would want to do. You know, I get that, but I don't know. At the same hand, doesn't it feel like Jim Irsay might be like really serious? Like you got to give me a first round pick to get Jonathan Taylor because we might be dead tomorrow. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
There. So here's the way it feels to me, right? The Colts were like, listen, man, no one wants you. And we're going to put you out on the market and you're going to find out no one wants you. And then all these teams are like, we would like JT. And then they're like, oh, okay. I guess we should think through this a little more. And, you know, the Dolphins send a deal and the deal's getting rejected. I don't know. Maybe all these reports are nonsense. But the fact that there's still clearly like some kind of ongoing negotiations with these teams, offers have probably been exchanged and rejected. It's the type of thing that happens before someone gets traded. Not to say he's definitely getting traded, but like this all feels like
stuff that happens before a guy gets traded. I agree with that. Yeah.
I think it's going to take a second team getting involved to like drive up the asking price. I think we've heard that the Dolphins have made like a legitimate offer. There have been some other offers made, but I think not that serious. So, I mean, that's kind of what happened with McCaffrey in the end getting traded to the 49ers as the Rams stepped in. They kind of drove up the asking price to a point where Carolina had to actually pull the trigger. So that's the teams I'm looking at, the Bears, I'm looking at the Rams, looking at the Dolphins. One of these other teams besides the Dolphins needs to like step in and start ponying up some offer to sort of drive up the asking price. And that's probably how it gets done. But anyways, good show, guys. I think we'll wrap up here. I think we'll probably, we actually haven't talked about this, but I think we'll do one more show next week. Final ADP chasing.
Yeah. What are we going to do in season? Are we just done? Are people, the people don't get the
there's no ADP
anymore?
To chase. There's no ADP to chase. What are we?
I don't know. I was thinking like every week, I think it's probably going to be tough for us, but I would love to do like maybe some monthly best ball resurrection, ADP chasing. Like we'll do something. We'll figure it out internally and get back to you guys, but it'd be fun to like do something in season. Maybe not hitting you guys every week live, but I'm sure we'll figure out something. It's been a blast, but anyways, final week, final stretch, Pat, anything else coming out of Legendary Upside? Are you doing more running back upside write-ups for some of the third round guys?
Yeah, my plan is actually to do those now and write those up. Because I have, you know, in the hotel room, have moved out. All my stuff's in. God knows what Murphy's doing over there.
He's just vibing, dude.
Yeah. so he's doing the lick thing. I'm like, that's getting a little nervous about what he's planning to do to the bed. So anyway, all the stuff's on its way to San Diego and living out of a hotel room. So my work process is not what it usually is. But that is the plan, for me to write up some more legendary scenarios for the backs going outside of the top two rounds. The kind of classic legendary running back article that I do every year, looking at the guys in the first two rounds, is completely free. So go check that out at legendaryupside.com.
Awesome. Davis, what about for you? Are you doing the main event with Silva and Thorman that you normally do?
It's tomorrow night. Yeah, so that'll be awesome. Out. That should be this week's TakeCast. And then Corrine and I, Thursday morning, are going to do the show we've done the last 2 years, I think. And we are going to do our league winners. So we're going to go through like basically like you're drafting this weekend. This is this year's Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, you know. Total breakout guys. So that's coming this week.
All right. Looking forward to you guys breaking down Adam Thielen's breakout case. Do a juice. But yeah, that sounds fun. Good stuff, guys. I'll be here next week for ADP chasing. We'll have a role announcement soon, some more details about my in-season content plan, but that'll probably be sometime at the end of this week. Anyways, we will see you guys all next week. Thanks again to everyone for hanging out in the chat. That was a fun show. Peace.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal, each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary, not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.